You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, talking about being ready, willing, and able to rock and roll all night, Keith Alexander, no matter how you slice it, we're getting off work at 9 o'clock.
That's right, yeah. We can't go till 3:30 like Fats Domino.
Well, or our guests. This month, all of our guests, there's not been a single one that has appeared before midnight, and some even later than that. And how about tonight with Philip DeWinter and Nick Griffin, sitting member of the Belgian Parliament, former member of European Parliament, you know, our own elected officials here. When asked about us by the press, called us reprehensible. That was the exact quote. They called us reprehensible. Of course, the political cesspool, yours truly.
But then their peers over in Europe have an entirely different opinion about us, don't they, James?
Well, they said, well, you heard it tonight. It's an honor to appear on this program, and that is the absolute equivalent to the same representatives who have denounced us on the record in a joint session of United States Congress.
All I can say is... people are judged by their enemies, and we have all the right enemies, don't we, James?
Well, we have all the right friends. We do have all the right enemies. We have all the right friends, too. I wouldn't trade anything for the companionship and the compatriotism of a Philip DeWinter or a Nick Griffin, who you've heard tonight.
Tom Sunick, Peter Rushton, all the people.
Let's just go through there. Yeah, thank you, Keith, for making mention of that. The people who have appeared during our march around the world, we have had, of course, the British barrister Adrian Davis, the former law professor, Andrew Fraser of Australia, Paul Fromm of Canada, an activist, the journalist Remy Tremblay of Canada, also Peter Rushton, a journalist with Heritage and Destiny magazine of the UK. We've spent a lot of time in the UK, Great Britain. It's the United Kingdom of
England, the Anglosphere.
England, Wales,
it's what
Scotland,
they call the Anglosphere.
And Northern Ireland, and it's used...
Jim Dawson from Northern Ireland.
And Ulster, indeed, who was on last week. Tom Sunic of
Croatia.
Former diplomat in Croatia. And then, of course, tonight with our esteemed guests. So we spent a lot of time, though, in the British Isles.
And Belgium and England.
We need to spend more time in Central Europe and Eastern Europe, and we didn't do that so much. This was one of the months where we needed 5 Saturdays.
Well, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to make a barnstorming tour through Eastern Europe so we can...
Well, we got to make up. But you know, that's the thing. I mean, some months grant you 5 Saturdays. This was one of the months where there's only 4 Saturdays. And there were some guests we really wanted to get to, like Dan Erickson of Europa Terra Nostra, who has appeared already back in February out of Sweden. He wanted to come on the show. There were some weeks we were already booked up, and there was a week like tonight where he was unavailable, and so sometimes that happens. Also, Sasha Raschmuller of Germany, who has featured us in a recent
publication. Well, see, we don't even have Western Europe totally covered in. The thing is, we desperately need to hear voices from Eastern Europe, from Ukraine, from Russia, from Poland.
From Scandinavia.
From Germany, from Norway, from all these places.
Well, Keith's got a phone call coming now, so you know that's going to take him right out of the... Hold on, Keith. You got to remember to take off your headset when you get a phone call live on the air. Tell us who it is, though. Hold on. You got to pull the whole network down if you go any further with your headset on. Is it anybody important?
A son of mine.
It's a son. It's only a son. Okay. Well, that is important. Well, anyway, there was a lot of people we wanted to get to this month that we just didn't have time for. I mean, there's only so much time you have in 4 weeks of broadcast radio. We wanted to get back with Dan Erickson of Sweden. I was actually talking to Dan earlier today, and we'll get back to him and Sascha Raschmuller of Germany, who featured us in a German publication just a few months ago. Also, how about Nick Glasnovic of Croatia, who not only was a sitting member of the Croatian parliament, but also a wartime general, a general in war for Croatia. And
we need to get Count Dracula from Transylvania in there.
But how about this picture right here? So here we have a picture of us with Philip de Winter, who's holding a copy of my book.
There's a picture with me in there, too.
You took this picture.
Yeah, that's right.
A picture that I took of you. But anyway, that's Anka Vandersmash.
Anna Vandersmash.
Who is a sitting senator still to this day in Belgium. And so we have these connections in Europe, the very highest powers of Europe, the very levers of power. And the respective
nations. We're looking for more.
Senators, members of parliament, et cetera, et cetera. And they respect us and we respect them. But what kind of reception do we get from the United States Congress, Keith, here on this program?
I mean, you can, but we're reminds me of that Richard Farina's book from the 1960s. Been down so low, it looks like up to me. Been down so long, it looks like up to me. But
well, in any event, we will continue with international guests. So it's not that we only feature international guests during the month of March, our March around the world. No, it is that during this month we exclusively feature members of European nations. We will continue that throughout the year, as we have already done. In fact, our very first show of the year, back in the first week of January, we had Sascha of Germany on, along with Lauren Witzke and the wild man Sonny Thomas. But we will continue to feature international guests throughout the year.
But we've got to get some Eastern Europeans.
It's this month, though, that we feature them exclusively. And we didn't have enough time in Central and Eastern Europe, and so we will make amends throughout the rest of the year. But every guest who appeared this month was from out of the country, and it was a fantastic month of radio, if I do say so myself. And, hey, listen, the special series, though, ladies and gentlemen, don't conclude tonight. It will continue next week, and next week will be a convergence of it all. So we're going to transition into our Confederate History Month series, our Southern History Extravaganza, during which we celebrate and revere our Confederate heroes. But next week is always a special show. It's that show where Confederate History Month and Easter converge. And so next week, man, you want to talk about a busy show. Next week we'll be kicking off the second consecutive special series, Confederate History Month, along with Easter, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, we will mention his name on this show. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And we will.
And of course, the two subjects are very much intertwined and related in our minds, Christianity and the Confederacy.
And for good reason on that, Keith. Well, so that's coming up next week. We transition from March Around the World to Confederate History Month series back-to-back. March and April and Easter coincides with it as well. It's all going to converge. But I got to say, I had the opportunity to appear on a program a few days ago. It's called Full Moon Ancestry, and this guy's doing a great job. Full Moon Ancestry, and he did this introduction before there was this person, before there was this program, before there was this entity, there was the political cesspool. And this guy was more well-versed in our history, Keith Alexander, than I think even we are.
You need to publish that on our blog.
That's the respect this show gets, and we'll continue right after this.
Dad, can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where did all these cats come from?
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, I want to talk very quickly, Keith. We made mention of this with each of our featured guests this evening, the compare and contrast between the media's coverage of the shootings in Georgia and Colorado, respectively. So you had the white Southern Baptist. It was all about his race and religion. You had the Syrian Muslim. It had nothing to do with his race or religion, but all to do with gun control. They just pivot, and they win no matter what the circumstance. So, interestingly, when a few years ago, people forget this, in 2007, you had an Asian who killed 33 white students at Virginia Tech, and the media went out of its way, and the government too, to claim that it was important, so important, that you not blame Asians for that massacre. But in 2001, a white man killed 6 Asians and 2 non-Asians, one white, one Hispanic, and what the FBI admitted had no racial motive, but the media and government blamed white people at large. And then, but you fast forward, they couldn't have expected it to happen this quickly. You had a Syrian Muslim go into the grocery store there in Boulder, Colorado. That is Muhammad Ahmad Al-Assad.
And Ahmed Alawari Alisa.
And it had nothing to do with his race and religion, but all to do with gun control. So they practically tripped over themselves, how feverishly quick they were to let you know that the Atlanta massage parlor shooter was a white Christian. But I was wondering, you know, it was 2 days later, 2 days after the massacre at the Colorado grocery store. I said, what's the deal here? When it's a white gunman, they let you know his name and race while his finger is still on the trigger. And I was looking at it and said, something's up. And then sure enough, his name and ethnicity and immigration status was released. And that's why it took him 48 hours to get to the situation in Colorado. It didn't take 48 minutes to give you the name, the race, the religion.
Not even 48 seconds.
Let
me say this. What it does show, first of all, if you look at that picture of Ahmed Al-Awari Alisa, or however, whatever it
you're
is.
You're probably butchering that, but that's okay.
But anyway, That guy was stripped of all of his Islamic garb, so he looked as white as they possibly could make him
look. Yes, from the very distant picture they released, quite grainy as it were. Yeah, it looked like an overweight, out of shape white guy.
Yeah, but see, that media narrative that we came out, what was it, 10 years ago or something, where if there is a white shooter and a non-white victim, racism, yeah. And, you know, then if it's a non-white shooter and a white victim, it's gun control, and then the other one, you know, if it's non-white, it's Kardashian. But see, they follow that religiously. That is sacred text for the news
media.
But
here's the thing, though. I mean, we put it up. Let me see if I can find it here. I mean, in the first sentence of every mention of every headline about the situation in Atlanta, the words white male were mentioned. The words Muslim male, Syrian immigrant, none of that was ever mentioned in all that. You have to ferret out that information. If the media can't pimp a shooting or a murder to further foment hatred of white people, they'll simply move on, to your point, the checklist to a secondary objective such as gun control, which is what they have done. Funny how race and religion don't matter unless it fits the narrative. The words white man were crammed into every sentence about the Atlanta shooter. But here with, it's a tale of two headlines. Here's NBC News. Let me read straight from the establishment's mouth here. NBC News. Here's one headline. The white man charged with Wednesday's killing of 8 people, including 6 women of Asian descent, on and on and on, versus this headline from NBC News. A 21-year-old Colorado man faced murder charges, on and on and on. What's the difference? The difference is the race of the shooter and the victims were mentioned in one, but not at all in the other.
Well, it reminds me of that, who was the guy, Bob Whitaker, who said that there would be a headline, earthquake levels New York City, blacks hit hardest, or something like that. You know, what happened in Atlanta, you had 6 Asians, 1 white, and 1 Hispanic. Heaven forbid that there had been a black sex worker involved in that shooting or as a victim of the shooting, then it would have all been about that black person. But see, the media is so corrupt and speaks so consistently with one voice that you can predict things a la that media narrative. And, you know, they have no shame. They keep doing it each and every time that they have a shooting.
It's not just the media, Keith, although it is the media, and it's all of the controlled media.
It's all of the establishment.
But how about this from Ilhan Omar, our Muslim representative in the United States Congress out of Minnesota? She wrote this week. I mean, what planet is this person coming from? Oh, I can't even believe I'm about to read what I'm about to read to you. This is Ilhan Omar out of Minnesota. The shooter's race or ethnicity seems front and center when they aren't white. Otherwise, it's just a mentally ill young man having a bad day. Narratives drive our responses to awful crimes committed against innocent people. Pay attention to these responses and who is targeted. She's saying the exact opposite of actual reality. The exact opposite of reality, she says, is occurring. We see it as it actually is. And this goes to prove the point. People like us who value reason and common sense and logic and truth cannot occupy the same living space with someone who, like Ilhan Omar, who is a liar from the pit of hell. How in the hell can you say, after watching this over the last 2 weeks, that one is targeted and the other isn't, when it is the exact opposite of what you were saying?
Well, what it is, it's just like Fats Domino said, don't send Ilhan no newspaper because she can't read. Apparently, she's unable to read what is there and document it. And furthermore, she needs to get a Q-tip to clean her ears out because she can't even hear the broadcast media reports because she gets it entirely wrong, but somehow it's like Outback Steakhouse. There's no wrong, just right for the left in America today, and they are virulently anti-white, and it's time that Republicans start speaking up for the white race, who are their constituents, the people who vote them into office, and we need to get media voices out there that are mainstream and getting the type of coverage that people like Stephen Colbert and whatnot that will tell the truth about these things like we're doing.
How does Belgium get someone like Philip de Winter and their equivalent of the House of Representatives, and we get Ilhan Omar? But CNN, brother of the Boulder shooter, tells CNN he suffers from mental illness. He was bullied in high school for being Muslim, and people made fun of him. So there again, he did what he did because of whites. Even when a non-white massacres 10 people, exclusively white, it is because of whites that that happened. CNN's making excuses for the Muslim terrorists, but when a white guy who is afflicted by pornography addiction and sexual addiction and all of these things that society has thrust upon him, there's no such similar excuses for him.
Oh, yeah, there's no excuses. There's no excuse for being white. There's no refuge. There is no sympathy. There is no forgiveness for whites. Whites just need to die in the eyes of the left. And white people, like the people at CPAC that refuse to see this as a racial issue, are either just stupid or they are intentionally trying to avoid the real truth of the matter.
You've got quasi-mainstream conservatives like Matt Walsh and Rod Dreher, who have said the media had planned to spend the rest of the week talking about the Boulder shooting, but will now have found something else to talk about, since the shooter is a Syrian immigrant named Ahmad Al-Aliwi Alisi. Rod Dreher wrote, "The Boulder shooting suspect is Ahmad Al-Aliwi Alisi. We have no idea his motive yet, but I expect the same media who told us all last week to be very afraid of white Southern Baptist males is going to instruct us to ignore this guy's religion and race and blame it on white people."
Look at that panel of the victims. I mean, every one of those people, I'll bet you a dollar to a donut hole, is woke as can be. But they deserve to die, and we don't hear any mourning for them because they're white.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, we have had, I would say, a difficulty of working in stateside stories this month because we've been spending so much time abroad. But, I mean, that's not a difficulty. It's an honor because we've had such great guests. But we are talking about American news, headline news here in the States this hour. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, The Political Cesspool. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed a bill Friday that critics say restricts ballot access. The law adds new ID requirements for absentee ballots and gives state officials the power to take over local election operations if problems are reported. President Biden called the law atrocious on Friday and said that it targeted black Georgians. But Governor Kemp says that the bill is meant to ensure integrity in the state's elections. He tells Fox News that the law actually expands ballot access.
It's further securing the absentee ballot process by simply adding a photo ID requirement or number from your ID that will actually speed up the absentee balloting by mail process, which was very slow after this last election. Take the arbitrary part of that away. So really it's an election integrity bill, but also expands access. So it's kind of ironic that the president would be against that.
This is USA Radio News.
Friends, Mike Lindell is a great supporter of conservative radio, but most of all, he's a man who has invented a great USA product that will help you get a great night's sleep. For over 3 years, I've told you how the MyPillow Premium Pillow has changed my life. I get the best sleep of my life. But more importantly, the pillows don't go flat. You can wash them and dry them as many times as you want. They maintain their shape, and they are made in the USA. Here's the best deal you'll ever get on a MyPillow Premium Pillow. $29.98 for a standard or queen size pillow. King size only $5 more. You're saving $40. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. You can save up to 60% on any MyPillow product when you use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special.
The United States is responding to the deadliest day in Myanmar since protests began following last month's military coup. Mike Fortier reports from the USA Radio News Florida Bureau.
At least 90 people reportedly killed in several protests across the country. A local news outlet reports 4 of those killed are children, one just 5 years old. Thomas Vajda is U.S. ambassador in Myanmar. He accuses security forces of murder. He also calls the bloodshed horrifying. Bhajda says the people of Myanmar have spoken clearly. They do not want to live under military rule, and he calls for an end to the violence and the restoration of the democratically elected government. That government, led by Aung San Suu Kyi, toppled in last month's military coup. Today is violence coming on Armed Forces Security Day. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
And two teams have punched their ticket to the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament. The Cinderella run continues for Oregon State after they beat Loyola Chicago 65-58. And the top seed in the South, Baylor, is moving on after dispatching Villanova 62-51. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend Tom Sunik, who was on the show last week representing Croatia during our March Around the World, had this to say with regard to our compare and contrast of how the media has treated the shootings in Georgia and Colorado, respectively. Back in communism, Tom Sunik writes, in Eastern Europe from the 60s through the 90s, we never believed a single word in the communist-run media, even when they were telling the truth. The same thing is now taking place with the so-called media, CNN, New York Times, etc., in the United States. It's the same fake news on all frequencies, 24/7. Now, this was a guy who suffered through communism saying, we've got the same thing going on here that they had back.
Well, I really think cultural Marxism is even worse than communism, if you can imagine that. At least people in communism could talk freely among themselves without fear of retribution.
I don't know. Did they get a bullet in the back of the head wherever they were found? If they
Well, that was in Bolshevism in the early days, but by the end, by the Khrushchev era and whatnot like this, the official party line was such, and people that had to make public statements said such. But then on the other hand, everybody in the public knew and talked among themselves about just how dishonest it was, just like Tom Sunik was describing.
All right, how about this one, Keith? I think that this dovetails with what we're talking about. So we've been talking about the Atlanta shooter who was a white Southern Baptist. And by the way, his church completely, of course, denounced him and excommunicated him.
There's no repentance. There's no forgiveness in the Southern Baptist church. You know,
obviously,
that they would crucify him, you know. I tell you what, not very
well,
Christian behavior.
Here's the thing. Leave it to the Southern Baptist. And boy, don't we have the experience here on this program. I guess better to excommunicate a mass murderer than to disfellowship an entire congregation because the SPLC doesn't like my show, as the Southern Baptist did with my church. But leave it to the Southern Baptist to jump on any opportunity to self-flagellate themselves before the media. An appropriate response to the fact that the shooter in Atlanta belonged to one of the Southern Baptist churches would have been for the pastor of the church to say that they are praying for everyone involved, including the family of the victims. That should have been the end-all and the be-all of the story.
That's what the black churches do when there's a black member that is caught up in some crime investigation like this.
But we know that the church doesn't condone murder, so why go out of your way to grovel before the press who hates you and who hates Jesus Christ more than you could ever hate yourself?
Well, no, I tell you who hates him even more than the media. The Southern Baptist hierarchy hates you even more than the media.
Well, you're saying that someone who commits a sin, even a sin as great as murder, can't be a believer? Churches have prison ministries that exclusively minister to the condemned, but I guess just not those who are condemned of
white people. Yeah, well, not that. No, it doesn't have anything to do with racism, because the biggest racists today are anti-racists. It has to do with the color of your skin, pure and simple. If you're white, you're not all right. You need to disappear from the face of the earth.
If we had a few Philip DeWinters and a few Nick Griffins and a few Nick Lasnovichs here in America, and Tom Sunik, who's a former diplomat, we could make some hay here with a program like this. But how about this one, Keith? Along this line, here's another example of the media refusing to mention race unless it fits the narrative. So there was a situation that happened just this month, just last week, in Miami, Florida, Miami Beach, Florida. There was a young white girl, a college girl, who was drugged, raped, robbed, and murdered by two black males. But when the media caught wind of this story, they made it made headlines, as it would. But they made mention of the fact that spring breakers killed this young white girl. Well, I guess
Troy Donahue and Frankie Avalon were responsible.
I guess it's true that they were on spring break, but no, they were black. They were black males, and they killed this young white woman. Do you think, the reason I bring up the race of the perpetrators and the victim is to ask this question. Do you think that the media would have made mention of the fact of the racial dynamic if the two white college students had murdered a black woman the way that these two black men murdered this white woman? It is the absolute polar opposite of the movie A Time to Kill, and they have to make these fictitious movies like A Time to Kill because situations like that in real life have never occurred.
Including A Time to Kill.
Tell us about A Time to Kill.
Time to Kill was written by a guy that practiced where I did one time, John Grisham, and I have it from a lawyer down there that John Grisham said in the preamble to the or the book dust cover to the his original book, A Time to Kill, that was based on a true story. That's indeed true, but in the true story, the murdered girl was white, and the murdered racially motivated defendants were all black. But of course, John Grisham knew that wasn't going to impress the Jewish overlords of the publishing industry that he was trying to ingratiate himself to. That's the best excuse we can give for him. Other than that, he's just a downright liar about it. But that's what that. See, so even in real life, there's nothing like the plot line of A Time to Kill happening.
And A Time to Kill, that features Matthew McConaughey, Kevin Spacey, a lot of A-list actors, Kiefer Sutherland, Sandra Bullock, and others. It's these two redneck Mississippi boys who rape this young black girl.
This virginal black 12-year-old, and these are two knuckle-dragging, troglodytic Klansman type that are
But in real life...
It was just the polar opposite.
And what about in this incident that happened all too real just last week in Miami?
Exactly, and then...
Well, why is the media not mentioning the race of the perpetrators and the victims as they were all too
Because
quick
black
to do-
people can do no wrong in the eyes of the media, and white people never do anything right. Now, in Ocean Springs...
Do you think you would have heard the mention of the race of the victims and the perpetrator had the races been reversed in this situation?
Oh, man, I mean, you could... It would be radioactive for 6 months. I mean, for 6 months, it would be happening, okay? I mean...
No, there would be movies made about it. There were movies made about the polar inversion of it.
Yeah, exactly. And see,
A-list movies.
And in reality, again, going back to this, a 14-year-old white girl in Ocean Springs, Mississippi... shot a black guy that was attacking her, and all you heard about is how she is guilty of murder on this. But see, there is not fair play. There is not justice in the media. It's crazy, okay? And we need to know that.
All right, so that's what's going on. That's what's going on in the United States of America just this week. Everything we've mentioned in this segment has taken place in the last 14 days. Here in this country, and the way the media's treatment of each of these incidents, the shootings in Atlanta, the shootings in Boulder, Colorado, the murder of this young white girl by the two so-called spring breakers. Yeah, they wouldn't be referred to as spring breakers had they been white and the victim black, and nor would it have taken 48 hours.
They want you to believe that Frankie Avalon and Troy Donahue and Tab Hunter were... responsible for this murder.
It wouldn't have taken 48 hours for you to know the facts of the matter in Colorado if they weren't trying to obscure it. How sick, how disgusting, and how in the hell, going back to what we talked about at the top of this segment, could Ilhan Omar out of Minnesota claim it to be the exact opposite of how it really is, saying that the races of the victims and the perpetrators would have been front and center had it been reversed. No, it's exactly the opposite. I mean, Keith, what planet is she on, buddy?
Well, she's on the planet. She's on a planet that's not in this solar system, I tell you that.
But I'll tell you who is. Philip DeWinter, Nick Griffin, the guests on this program, yours truly, our audience. And then you had the situation in Georgetown, the Georgetown professor. It was a white woman who was lamenting the fact that the people at the bottom of her class are always black students. She wasn't saying this as a, like a matter of fact or
hey. She wasn't smug. She wasn't self-congratulatory. She was genuinely upset about it and wished it weren't the case.
But she made mention of the empirical evidence and the data. And even by mentioning that, even while she lamented it, she was canned because she mentioned it to a colleague and said, I hate this. I don't know why it's happening, but these are the facts. These are the people who are always at the bottom of my class. And she got fired for it. I mean, this is where we're at in America.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just the gloves are off. It's anti-white time, okay? White people are being treated worse now than black people ever were by the media.
You got these white people in Portland who have gone back now, even in the Biden era, who have gone back to attacking the courthouse and attacking public buildings, and you got the autonomous zone.
And all you hear is crickets from the media about it.
What has gone wrong with these white people who would be willing enablers and collaborators with the people who hate them?
The brainwashing worked on them. The propagandizing worked on them.
Have parents?
Well, there are plenty of people, unfortunately, all over America. It's not just the Pacific Northwest who have succumbed to this brainwashing.
All right. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, we got one more segment tonight. We're wrapping up our march around the world, and we're wrapping it up tonight with Philip DeWinter and Nick Griffin. I've never been more proud. This is something to be proud of, our work here. We got one more segment, then we're going to go right into Confederate History Month. Stay tuned, folks. We're never going to stop.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know our love was meant to be.
probably impossible this month of all months to find a song more fitting for us to dedicate to our audience than that. You're the Inspiration from Chicago. That how those lyrics were written from us to you, ladies and gentlemen.
Our inspiration from Chicago is Jack Ryan.
But, no, indeed. Listen, Keith, we wouldn't be here without our audience. This month especially, we have been deplatformed and for good. And all the people this month who have, for the first time after all of these years, a decade and a half, started to write checks after they were recurring donors online with credit card contributions. The words escape me, ladies and gentlemen. Here's this from Jim in Arizona. I heard James and Keith about your crisis. My brothers, TPC is one of the few platforms fighting for the rights and lives of white Americans. The thought of taking TPC off the air would depress me deeply. It closes an extra donation to continue the righteous fight against the systemic racism inflicted on our people by the government, academia, and corporations. The amazing thing to me is that your show delivers both unvarnished truth without hate in a humorous yet serious manner. I predict more and more Americans will seek out and listen to TPC for truth and information. God bless you, James and Keith, and the happy, dedicated warriors for white people. That comes from Jim in Arizona. I think he nailed it, Keith. He nailed it. And here we are, thanks to him, and thanks to everyone who has stepped up and contributed and taken pen to paper and written the checks.
Because we're basically like those old commercials they had when I was a kid about Radio Free Europe, where the people around the crystal box listening to a crackling broadcast, and all of a sudden the jackbooted thug comes in and drops an axe on it. That's almost what it feels like today, James.
Well, we've got not only listeners like Jim, but heavyweights for our people like Dr. Ed Fields. Dr. Ed Fields sending us personal correspondence and contributions. You know, this month, Keith, not only it's not been just listener, but it's been guest and movement peer alike who have stood up, and people like Gene Andrews and people who we feature regularly on this program who have all written checks this month because they stand with us and we stand with them. To James and Keith, to quote Thomas Paine, these are the times that try men's souls. Thankfully, we have you to refresh our souls. Here is a donation to keep you fighting your Southern brother, Jay, in Texas.
Great. T for Texas and T for Tennessee.
And, of course, a lot of Texas's freedom is owed to Tennessee, the Volunteers.
That's right. They had more Tennesseans at the Alamo than any other three states combined.
Carol in Florida, recently found your show. You know, that's another thing that people forget. Even after all these years, people are still learning about us every week and tuning in.
We have new listeners every week.
Recently found your show. Keep up the good work. Carol in Florida sent a contribution. Best wishes from Texas. That comes from Catherine. How about this? Enclosed is a donation from John in Armstrong, Illinois, also a first-time donor. We've had a lot of those this month in light of our recent plight. Dear James, enclosed is a $20 donation. Wish it could be more. God bless you and prayers for you. That comes from William in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
That's where Jim Thorpe was from.
Well, do you want to read this one, Keith? It's front and back.
No, you read it, man. I tell you what, my eyesight's not good enough.
I don't know. I mean, this is from. Well, if I could read it, I would. But cursive is a.
I tell you what, cursive is like a foreign style now. But I remember learning that in school, and everybody signed the annuals in cursive. And everything was perfectly
legible. They
don't
teach cursive anymore in school.
I know. That's just, well, look, public schools, let me say this. Back when I went to public schools, the teachers, there was no such thing as a college of education or getting a doctor of education degree. All of the teachers majored in the subjects that they taught, like a Spanish teacher taught Spanish or a geometry teacher taught math or something, and they knew their subjects and loved their subjects, and they passed that on to their students.
Well, I actually can read this. It's with impeccable penmanship. It comes from Steve in Canton, New York. But Steve, we'll respond to you personally and privately. But People like this around the country and around the world, Keith, have stood with us during this, our hour of greatest need, the first month during which we have, the first fundraising quarter, where we have been completely deprived of online processing, and we will soldier on thanks to the audience, and man, it couldn't have come during a better series of programming here than this, our March Around the World, but we are going to try to match it next month during April. Our Confederate History Month series, Easter is next week, so it's all going to converge. We're going to celebrate Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate our Confederate heroes. It's all going to happen here on TPC. April is always a special month here on this broadcast. And then by May, we'll get back to regular programming, and that is the normal. We cover the news in the first hour, a featured guest in the second hour, cleanup in the third hour with Jack Ryan, who has ceded his time during these special series we're running right now. But that's what's going on. But it has been a fantastic night and a fantastic month. Keith, there was one more thing with about 3 minutes remaining you wanted to get to, and tell us what it was.
Well, there's a great article this week from Paul Craig Roberts that I read in the Dixie Heritage Newsletter that said, I have outlived my country.
I thought you wanted to get into H1S or H1B.
Oh, yeah,
or
we
H1R.
Want to do that too, but that's a great thing. But see, basically what Paul Craig Roberts said was that what has happened is that America used to be the singular country in the world where a person did not have to be either brilliant or have great ruling class connections in order to be a success. And the left is trying to take that distinction away from America. Don't let them happen. Don't let it happen, people. We need to fight for it. Now to get back to HR1 and S1, that's the new federal election law. That is one of the most pernicious pieces of litigation ever to pass through Congress, and believe me, that's saying something. Under this law, every type of known fraud is going to be endorsed and enshrined as legitimate and legal in federal elections if it comes through. And furthermore, what's happening in that is that if you bring a suit against it, it has to be brought in Washington, D.C., where you know you're going to get an ultra-left-wing jury. So if this thing passes, we're looking at 70 years like the Soviet, like Russia, of being under Soviet-style control. There's not going to be, it's going to be a one-party state totally if this thing passes.
I want to say very quickly, there were some nations we didn't spend enough time in during this, our march around the world. We made mention of it earlier, Eastern Europe, Central Europe. We wanted to spend more time in Scandinavia and Germany and Hungary and Russia. We'll make a better effort to do that next year during our march around the world, but we will still have international guests as the year continues. But how about this from a listener in South Africa? Dear James, I would like to tell you how much I admire what TPC does and what it stands for. I am from South Africa, and I pray for the political cesspool to be helped from above. And South Africa was also, we have great friends like Simon Roche of Sightlanders in Africa. You know, South Africa's in no man's land with regard to our broadcasting schedule. You can go to Europe and it may be midnight or 1 a.m., or you can go even to Andrew Fraser in Australia and it be midday, a Sunday afternoon. But South Africa, our broadcasting time is like 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. I mean, it's absolutely no man's land. So we didn't get Simon on. We will get Simon on. We will visit in with our kinsmen in South
Africa. We have others
Africa.
Like John Lomprecht, too. We have all sorts of people in South Africa, fighting the good fight. No one has been on the front line of this anti-white discrimination like the white people of South Africa. And our hat's off to you. You're still fighting the good fight, and we'll continue to do it with every last impulse of your fiber.
Well, we're looking at this picture here now of Philip DeWinter and yours truly and Anke van der Smurf, who was a former Miss Belgium. She's not only a senator in Belgium, she's a former Miss Belgium. And if you want a fast track on this program, be a Miss whatever your nation is. And that's going to move you to the head
well,
of
look,
the
line
every time.
She's even taller than you, which is you're 6'3", but I tell you what, she's a stunning beauty, and I tell you, not only that she has the right ideas, so does Phil.
And she went around in your Range Rover.
She did, and she told me how small Memphis was, and that's because James had to get back out to business, and we just went down to Forest Park, basically, and went over.
Back when he was still there. Now, that's coming up in Confederate History Month. We'll have an update on that. What a march around the world. God bless you. Hey, folks, there's still a couple of days left in our first quarter fundraising drive. We need your help. You're going to have to mail in those and check the money orders. That's the only way to do it. Great incentive, Jason Kuna's book, Crucible. For all of our guests this month, and for Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week in April. It will be our Confederate History Month series with Easter, Jesus Christ. We'll honor him next week. It's all coming your way 1 week from now. Stay with us, won't you please? Good night and Godspeed.